We are joined by attorney Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone, and he has an update on this whole Minnesota legislative mess. And Jeff, I'm really ticked off that they did not take care of the tax bill. Could be a special session. You say, well, tell me what you found out, because you're an insider on this sort of thing.
Well, just remember about this, you know, there's this surplus. I forget now if it's $10 billion or $12 billion or whatever the heck it is. And, you know, the framework that's been agreed to right now between, you know, you got the Democrats running the House and having the governorship and the Republicans in the state Senate. And the current framework is to spend $4 billion, save $4 billion, and give $4 billion back to the taxpayers. Okay. So
back.
A fraction. So one third of it goes back to the taxpayers. So, yeah, there's been some chatter about letting the deal die and having, you know, basically putting the issue of what goes happens with the surplus into the election. And then whoever wins gets to decide what to do with it. Meaning if the Republicans were to, you know, if Scott Jensen were to beat Tim Walz, and if the Republicans were to take over the House and hold the state Senate, they would be more inclined to give all of the surplus back, whether it be rate reductions, Social Security, you know, exempting Social Security income from state income tax, which it should have been a long time ago. You know, all of those things, the Republicans want to do more tax relief. So this doesn't really, in my opinion, it's nice that they had a rate reduction in there, at least in the framework, but I'd rather see more going towards tax relief, because all the surplus is proof that you overtaxed your citizens.
Yes, but you know
and
what?
With inflation and everything going on, I'd rather see that money go back into people's pockets.
Absolutely would too, but get something done now. And then if Jensen beats Walz, then they take the other $4 million or whatever, and they give it back yet again. But it's ridiculous to let everything wait. But you have the one bit of good news from the state legislature. By the way, you do get an update from the legislature, and it said it's likely to be a special session, correct?
That's what they're predicting, yes.
Now, but if you're a Growler fan, the Growlers are back. A lot happened. Now, you represent over 60 craft breweries and also distilleries, and it's good news for the liquor crowd, right? Because they got the Growlers
back.
These
reforms, Bob, have been being pushed for at least a half dozen years, going back to there hasn't really been any meaningful liquor law reform since they allowed liquor stores to sell on Sundays. That was the last real meaningful reforms, and everything has been, you know, kind of on hold on that since then. And the we have three tiers of alcohol distribution. We have manufacturers, which is the breweries, the distilleries, the wineries.
Yep.
We have wholesalers, and we have retailers. And retailers are the bars, the restaurants, liquor stores, municipal liquor stores, all that. And you throw the Teamsters in there too as another special interest group. Okay, and it's kind of like everybody versus the manufacturers. That's just the way it always has played out. Well, and so the manufacturers have been asking for a lot of these reforms for a long time. So what they got through, and it's been bipartisan, because you had the House bill was, you know, primarily Democrats, and then it got attached to a liquor proposal that was in the Senate in conference committee, and that got sent back, and both the House and Senate voted to approve it. So what the big picture of things, the cap on selling growlers, it went from 20,000 barrels, and just so people know, a barrel is 31 gallons. That's the measuring unit for beer. We talk about production of beer, okay? So it used to be 20,000 barrels. If you exceeded that, you couldn't sell growlers. That got kicked up to 150,000 barrels. So breweries like Castle Danger and Surly and Fulton can now sell growlers again, and which is a big deal.
Because
if you're traveling up to Lutzen or Gooseberry Falls, you want to stop in Two Harbors and pick up a couple growlers of whatever seasonal release Castle Danger has, you can do that now.
Well, explain exactly what a growler is. How big is it?
A growler is a 64-ounce jug of beer. It's the freshest, you know, you get the, it's poured right off the tap at the brewery. Its primary advantage is, if you have a seasonal release that maybe is not available in stores, it's just at the brewery. If you're going someplace, you can stop in, you get one filled up, and you can take off with it. So that's what the growler is. And the larger breweries for several years have not, once you go over 20,000 barrels, you couldn't sell them. So a lot of these breweries that was lost income for them because they could no longer sell them anymore. Okay.
So the advantage was the smaller breweries, they could sell them.
They could, but the smaller breweries got something out of this deal too. But there was another push on to let, you know, a brewery cannot sell like the typical cans that you would find, the 12 and 16 ounce cans that you find at a liquor store up until this bill, okay? So what the bill also does is if you're a small brewer, meaning 7,500 barrels or less per year, you can sell 4 and 6 pack cans directly from the brewery. So if, as an example, like Hayes Public House out in Buffalo,
yep.
Pugs is going to be able to sell 4 and 6 pack cans. Now the caveat is, if it's a style that is being sold, that is being put in the hands of wholesalers and being sold at, you know, sold through the wholesalers, you're capped at, I think, 128 ounces of beer being sold in that way. Okay. No cap on selling the growlers or the 750 milliliter ones, they call the crowlers, which is like the larger can. But if you're going to sell the stuff that you can also get at a liquor store, there is a limit to how much you can sell. But for a small brewery, they're not producing, you know, like I said, they're only doing 7,500 barrels a year. They aren't going to be able to, you know, sell their entire inventory in cans. So it's a win for small brewers on that.
Well, what was the motivation, Jeff, for them to actually get this done? Was it for people to drink themselves into a fog and to forget they didn't pass the gambling bill and they didn't get the tax deal done when they were supposed to?
No, I think it was a recognition. These reforms have been building up for many years. Part of it, what helped was the retail tier, the Minnesota Licensed Beverage Association, they sort of broke away from the wholesalers and the Teamsters and indicated that they were ready to have some laws change. There was a recognition that you couldn't keep going this way. The other, I'll mention the one other change, Bob, is the cocktail rooms that the distilleries have. Larger distillery can now have a cocktail room. And if you ask with your motivation, you remember my client Tattersall now sits over with their large facility in River Falls because they were going to get too big and wouldn't be able to have a cocktail room anymore. Had this law been passed before that, we might have kept Tattersall in Minnesota. So The fact that some of these breweries and distilleries are looking at Wisconsin, looking at Iowa, looking at the Dakotas as second locations because of some of the liquor laws here, that was a recognized problem, and I think some of the impetus to finally get something done.
You know, as far as I'm concerned, this legislature, it's a bunch of nitwits the way they do things. Now, you went to the movies over the weekend. You saw a mm-hmm. twin bill, and one of them was this 2,000 Mules. All right, now I got to ask you, I consider you an objective guy. Do they make a compelling argument that the election was stolen? That's what it's about, right?
Well, it is. There was some interesting information, talking about, tracing the path of these mules that, putting ballots in these drop boxes. And they showed some video footage. I've heard some commentary, and I kind of agree with it, that I wish that they would have shown video, if they have it, of one of these mules being at multiple locations. But it's a little bit, it's weird in that I don't know who is going and casting ballots, dropping these ballots off of ballot boxes at 3 o'clock in the morning and having to, and wearing, latex gloves and all sorts of things as if to hide their fingerprints. Here's what I say, Bob. It's certainly, in my opinion, I would like, supposedly this organization Through the Vote has all these minutes of data and video of this what of the of these drop boxes, and some of them they were supposed to be videoed and some of them weren't. I think it at least merits further inquiry or further investigation as to what went on. The conclusion was, of course, that they say Wisconsin and Michigan would have stayed in Biden's hands, but Arizona, Georgia, and Pennsylvania would have flipped to Trump. Now they're just using extrapolations on that.
Yep.
So that's not necessarily right. But I think enough of this discussion about most secure election in history and all this, and the more we see things, something about Donald Trump triggered a lot of people on the other side, because now we're finding out over the weekend, it was on Friday, in this grand jury testimony of her former campaign manager, that she was well aware of the falsity of the Russian collusion story and actually ordered it to go out. Yeah, exactly. That we time and again, we find things that they said about Trump that weren't true. And he's proven right. I think it, I don't know. You know, everybody talks about, you know, it's impossible. They couldn't steal election. We sit here now in 2022, looking back on, many years ago on the 1960 presidential election, and it's accepted truth now that Kennedy and LBJ stole two states from Nixon, Texas and Illinois. The mob was out doing stuff in Illinois, and, you have the dead voting and stuff. So I don't think that one of the roundtable people, Sebastian Gorka, was in there. You know, he'd worked for the Trump administration. He said, one of his comments was, it just doesn't pass the smell test that a guy who spent the entire campaign in his basement got more votes than the first black president in the country.
Yeah, that's a great point. All right, well, Jeff, now next week, your theater, my favorite theater, St. Michael Cinema, they will have Top Gun Maverick in the theaters and also outdoors on their big outdoor screen. Check that out. The only thing that would make, what I might do? I may go to the outdoor one, then I could load up, bring my Heggies, double cheese pizza, chow down on that with some popcorn with real butter. And, if I could figure out, I could get an inverter and make the pizzas in my little pizza, my little Betty Crocker pizza oven. And,
You know, they do have pizza there at St. Michael Cinema. And I'm told, I was watching a Facebook Live that Shelley did last week, and rumor has it that app that they launched last year, by midsummer they may be able to order right on the app, and from if you're at the drive-in, you can order and have food brought right to your car.
Well, I love everything they have there, but if it's not Heggies, I want my Heggies. All right, Jeff, thanks so much. Jeff O'Brien, we'll take a quick break. The BS Show will be right back.